Charted it. I'm going to watch it again for the third time today. I didn't chart an no throw. There was not too many no throws yesterday.
I thought the two worst throws of the game, and this is, you want to get nitpicky?
Right.
Brandon Ayuk gets like kind of tangled up, and instead of throwing a back shoulder early in the game, he throws it a little on the inside. Okay,
With Brandon Ayuk tried to draw the pass interference.
Whatever. The only other one was the Jennings telegraph pass underneath that got him a little blown up. But it wasn't an throw.
It was a delay slant.
Exactly.
The delay slant that Jennings dropped, and it was like, that's a tough play.
It's just
play.
A tough play. It was a
security blanket.
He made some throws to Saubert that were just perfectly timed. And I'm like, as long as the guy runs the route the right way, he's going to hit him.
The first of 20 for 16 yards right there. Saubert on the sideline. It was great. It was awesome. Let's get back out to the lines. Mike in Santa Clara. Mike, what's happening?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Wish I could say it was a happy Monday, but, you know, just like every other Niner fan right now, everyone's really upset about this one, like I am. My main point, a couple points before I get to my main point is, what Alex said earlier on the call, it's a team sport. It doesn't matter if it's whether it goes all the way up to the coaches, all the way down to special teams. It's a team sport. That was a team loss at that point, whether it was the player personnel that was that was chosen or the players not making plays, etc. It's a team sport. It's a 49ers all-team loss on that one. Other thing I want to say is we got to cut Ronnie Bell's ass, man. You cannot be dropping balls like that at that point in time. And I took some positives out of it, and Chasky, you kind of hit on it at the beginning. The first one was Brock Purdy. You know, I was going into it a little nervous about seeing him play and just how he would play. But, man, he did everything in his power, whether he was scrambling or just throwing perfect passes to the receivers, whether they were caught or not. You know, he did everything in his power, and I am a true believer in Brock Purdy now after that game because he had three of his top weapons out of it.
Yep.
Man, he played out of this world. The other one, Juwan Jennings, wow. I never actually said this unless you were Marshawn Lynch, but that guy went beast mode on everyone during that game. Up to mossing the guy, everything. I'm just happy that we finally got to see the potential that, you know, I've always wanted to see out of Juwan Jennings, and it makes me feel more comfortable knowing if Debo or, you know, even Ayuk, even though he's still not quite there yet, out of the lineup, man, it gives me a lot more confidence in him being out there, being the second option, even if Kittle's out as well. So that's all I got to say, guys. Have a great day.
Good call, Mike. Yeah, those are a lot of positives as you're listening to 95.7 Game, KGMZ FM, and HC1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Some people were ticked off that Jennings didn't talk to the press afterwards. Look, man, I'm not one to talk. Whether it was Little League, high school, I didn't want to talk after losses. I'm a sore loser. I'm not going to lie. I'm a sore loser. So I don't blame Juwan Jennings for not wanting to talk after that game. What's there to talk about? You want to, yeah, I had a career day, but we lost. That's the definition of a team player right there.
He's a
stud. So I'm not mad at him not speaking to the press afterwards.
You know, my big takeaway on Jennings, like, he's very good, right? He's a very underrated good player.
Yep.
Boy, it's different when you have a 6'3", big-bodied wide receiver who can kind of manhandle some stuff, huh?
It's been a while.
I mean, I've been asking for this. You and I have been asking this forever.
Forever.
So
we fell in love with Jalen Hurd.
I'm going to get deep here, but the guy who I thought outplayed him in all the preseason games was Tay Martin. And I thought Tay Martin has more juice.
And they cut him.
Now he's on the practice squad for the Titans.
Yeah, he's in Tennessee.
If you can, I would claim him and put him on my active roster. Unless you think Pearsall's coming back at some point, I would do that yesterday.
Or how about this one? Esau Winston Jr. got released from Seattle.
I'll take him.
He was in the running for the Tennessee practice squad gig. Tay Martin beat him up because Tay Martin's taller. Esau Winston Jr.'s out there. I'd rather throw the him down the field than Ronnie Bell. Esau Winston Jr. go make a play. I know he'll make a play. Ronnie Bell, that's why the timeout doesn't hour. I don't want to go back into that, but he's got to make the play at the 25-yard line. It's at the 25-yard line for the game.
He dropped two earlier.
He's a hero.
He's so bad.
He was so close to being a hero, and he dropped that. And I said, oh, boy, they're going to really lose this game. So, for example, when you talk about the timeout, because I've been thinking about it, say the Niners, they go to overtime, and you're saying Did you have any faith in the defense stopping them? Well, what changes in overtime?
No, it doesn't. You just hope you win the coin toss.
You just pray that you win the coin toss. Yes. You don't win the coin toss, you're going to lose the game anyway.
At this point, I'm just not giving them the ball in regulation.
I hear you.
You know, like, I feared Stafford. What more? Because I didn't trust our secondary to not commit an egregious penalty. And what did they do? The linebacker commits an egregious penalty. The other thing I was thinking about, like, they played this guy Tongues, who I'd never even, like, I didn't even know how to pronounce his name.
It was Tungus, I think.
Tungus? Yeah. I don't even know how to pronounce his name. Somebody
corrected me last week because I said something there. I was like, Tungus, and I forgot who it was. I want Sam to read the super chat in just a second, but Vernon Clay was 6-3 yesterday. He goes, boy, it's going to be record listeners and callers tomorrow in the row. So it's like, well, yeah, it's going to be, I told you business there, Bonte. Those businesses booming today. Doom and gloom. But how about this? He sent me this nugget. This was the Rams' biggest 14-point comeback since 2012 when they did it against the Washington Redskins. On that Washington team, McVay was the tight ends coach and Shanahan was the OC with his father, Mike, being the head coach.
We've gone this long.
So
you were up 10 with, like, I don't know, there's probably less than that, but I kept going because I looked at the clock. 12 minutes to go, you're up 10. I go, and I said it to the stream. Boy, I'm feeling like the NFC Championship game. You can't lose this one. You cannot lose this one, okay? And they found a way to lose this one. Yep. There is something. I don't know what. I don't know what it is, but there is something to all of these blown fourth quarter
leads. Again, since he's been hired, he's blown the most double-digit leads in the NFL outside of John Harbaugh of Baltimore.
Possibly.
He's second in the league. Shanahan, Kyle.
What is it? But what is it? Like, what
it's
is
a
high-level
like, loser, bro.
Is that offense? Is that defense? Is that play calling? Like, why? I don't have the answer.
We don't have the answer. Lovman, read this super chat.
Yeah, really quick, super chat coming from 300 IQ Gaming. Dropped $9.99 to say, fun fact, Steve Wilks was ran out of town for his defense, averaging 17.5 points a game, and a defense that held Mahomes under 20 in regulation. Meanwhile, Sorensen has averaged 23 and looks worse.
Nice uptick.
Nick Sorensen.
It ain't nothing you can do about it.
Later on in the week, we're going to talk about Sam Loveman winning the MVP of Stephen Langford's wedding.
He was amazing out there.
By the way, shout out Stephen Langford.
Congratulations.
Beautiful wedding.
For sure, Mrs. Langford was the MVP.
Yeah, Mrs. Langford.
Sam Loveman.
You know, it was a beautiful, and they're a beautiful couple, man. It was good to see everybody out there.
We had a good time.
Yeah, I tell you who was not the MVP. Our former good friend, Alexander Scott.
Oh, don't be mean.
No, that's my guy. I love him. I love him. Even though he's too...
I'm not going to sugarcoat.
The handshakes is Alexander Scott. I never got it. He holds on to the handshake multiple times.
Doesn't break your hand. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, dude, all right. Okay, let's go, dude.
Opposite
I need my head. I've got a whole baby.
Doing the dead fish handshake.
No, but you know what, though? Joe Lacob's handshake, when he came on the pre and post game set, it was a lot better. I had you in mind, and I couldn't wait to tell Spinotti. He's like, actually, his handshake's not bad.
He improved it after I gave him some constructive criticism, and he came back listening. And
you can't sugarcoat it.
We're in the middle of it. You're watching from afar, non-Niner fan. Okay, you watch every game. What is it about these blown leads? Like, obviously, you have to be good to be able to blow a lead. Like, that we acknowledge. But what is it about the blown leads?
It's just, well, that comes down to little things. Like, teams that, like, aren't buttoned up with the little things always end up losing. The teams that are buttoned up, like the Chiefs, like you saw yesterday, like, they end up winning games like that. The Falcons aren't buttoned up like that. The Niners, for as much as we love Shanahan, he's been amazing. He has never, ever had a good special teams coordinator or, special teams at all. Good. Ever, right?
If it's I were to say good. These names to you, Blake Costanzo, what do you think of? As a Niner fan.
Special teams.
Yes.
Great special teams player.
Was it Omari Spellman? Omari Spellman. What was the other guy? Spillman. These were guys who made the Pro Bowl at special teams during the Harbaugh era. For all the things that I know Kyle Williams, it didn't age well, but their special teams was good.
Yeah.
The two times it wasn't, Kyle Williams game, Jacoby Jones return, and they lost both those games.
I mean, this is bad. Yesterday was all-time bad. 888-957-9570 is the number. We're going to get to everybody, including Ryan in San Bernardino. My guy down to San Bernardino. Ryan, what is happening, man? Hopefully the Wolverines are doing better down there at San Bernardino Valley Junior College. But, of course, we're not talking about that right now. What up, Ryan?
Hey, speaking of Wolverines, the Michigan Wolverines beat USC, and I'm a Notre Dame fan, so that was a good weekend for me. Hey, my friends, I was just going to say, I think it's common football knowledge that, like, either you're getting better or you're getting worse. You're never staying the same. And the 49ers, you look at the contracts, bringing back Ayuk, bringing back Trent, just trying to get everybody back. You know, it's like we're shooting for the status quo, hiring Sorensen, keeping it within the same system. You guys spoke on that earlier, you know, doing everything the same. The league is catching us up. The league is catching up to us.
Oh, boy. Just that was a good call, Ryan. Ryan, call us back if you can. Call us back. We're going to get to everybody. Schleprock, I see you. Telmo, I see you. Wow, Telmo's calling?
Yeah.
That's how you know this is a big loss. Ryan and Irvine. Rudy and Riverside. Oh, I don't know if I want to take Rudy and Riverside. We're going to get Rudy out of here. We'll get him out the way on the other side because I already know what he's going to do. And then Jan and Mountain View. Oh, Jan's on. Wow. Wow. The hard hitters are out. People are not happy. We're going to be talking about this loss all week long. We won't get to the Patriots till Friday.
I'm not optimistic.
Oh, boy. That's what's coming up. Your phone calls brought to you by Shane Company.
Clean it up, Auntie.
Well, I think it's, you know, I think it's being able to commit to a process, you know, and we've got some better overall athleticism. I think Chase has done a great job, you know, bringing in Scott Frost to be able to help out. But we've got some continuity with the specialists, obviously adding Josh in the mix as a kicker. But you're looking at Ethan Evans take a step as a punter and then obviously as a holder. I think getting Alex Ward back is big. We missed him towards the latter part of the year. It's a big thing people don't talk enough about. But really proud of Chase Blackburn's leadership. He's done an excellent job. That's been a strength of ours through 3 weeks.
Hey, yo, this is your man. You're listening to the 95.7 The Game, The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky. Oh, baby.
Adam Amin on the call, Fox Sports. That was Sean McVay, the head coach of the LA Rams, a Super Bowl winning head coach. Sean McVay, that is, and they're reinventing themselves in LA, and their season was saved with a big win yesterday over our 49ers, 27-24, down at SoFi Stadium. And what was an unofficial home game for the San Francisco 49ers? Nothing but red in that building at SoFi Stadium. But that's a tough loss. Tough loss. By the way, the most wanted tickets in the Bay Area. If you want to go listen to some hip hop, some great hip hop. Ah, tickets are here in the Bay Area. It's Hip Hop Made the Bay, starring Too Short, Ja Rule, Bone Thugs, DJ Quick, Friday, November 1st.
Where is Ja?
SAP Center. I think I might have to be there for that. The Warriors don't play that night. We're probably going to need a Friday night off just to get our heads clear and get ready for another NFL weekend. Tickets are selling fast. Get yours now at Ticketmaster.com. Again, the Bay Area. Tickets in the Bay Area, most wanted tickets in the Bay Area, Ticketmaster.com, tickets are slim fast. By the way, a couple quick shout-outs, Burlingame Park and Rec Department, Burlingame Community Center, a lot of roasters, Shasky, my boy Kevin from the Excelsior, and Kelvin from Washington, D.C., played against Kevin Durant. Those guys were cooking Friday night at those movie night in Burlingame, Washington Square Park. You had the campers out there, people paid to spend a night at Washington Square Park. They had a great movie Up playing. Burlingame got it cracking, man. Call me Burlingame Bonte. We got Sausalito Shasky. We got Burlingame Bonte. But shout out to them because that event, all the kids running around in the playground, it was safe. You have police there. Just a good, fun family night. We had a lot of people out there. Got some pizza. Got our blankets. It was a lot of cool. But I want to shout those people out, the people that do the real work. We are just talking to Jaw Jack about sports, Shasky. But these people out there working behind the scenes, making sure the community's safe. A lot of good times out there, including my boy Kevin, who was writing on Sam Chan's there. But anyway, we got to get back to this loss, man, because it's a painful one. It's a painful one. I never... Shasky, up until that punt return, I was like, damn, the Niners are going to really lose this game. They're going to lose this freaking game to the LA Rams, who have nobody playing.
I must have said 50 times during the stream, can't let these guys hang around. Can't let these guys hang around. Can't let these guys hang around. And they let them hang around and hang around and hang around. And it was like you allowed the run game to stay in it. When you're only down two scores in the NFL, right, in the modern NFL, right, you could still run the ball.
Yeah.
When you're down three scores, you can't. And no. Now you're one-dimensional. At no point in the second half did it feel like they were heating up Stafford. What did we say Thursday, Friday? Got to heat him up. This defensive line. And they showed the graphic throughout the game. Oh, look at this lineman's out. This lineman's out. This is how many different combinations of Rams linemen have played this year. And it looked like the 49er defensive line couldn't push a bunch of fourth graders.
I mean, the effort after the missed field goal. the effort. The game is on the line. And the video of Bosa and Hargrave and that entire defensive front trying to get at the quarterback, that was piss poor, man. These players this week are not going to want to be in a film room watching that effort. When you got former players, yo, man, I don't know if they really want to win. I don't know if they really want to win. Like, what? How can effort be questioned in a 24-17 game to improve to 2-1 against a divisional opponent? And now, look, we are scoreboard watching because there's only one bye week in each conference. One team gets a bye week. You want to win a division to at least get a home game in the playoffs. Well, now you're two games behind Seattle because they're 3-0. You don't have much wiggle room here moving forward, Chasky, because Seattle's stacking wins.
Their defense looks slow and old. It's pretty straightforward to me. Like, they look slow and old. Right now, what is the strength of the defense? Like, Fred's playing his butt off, but is he stopping the run? No, you need other guys up front.
You hear that silence?
Yeah. Okay. Are they making plays on balls down the field? No. Are they open field tackling well? Are they collapsing the pocket on the quarterback? Are they stopping the outside run?
Not doing anything.
How about the inside run?
Not doing anything.
Okay. How's their third down conversion rate?
This defense, this may be the worst defense they've had since 2018.
But see,
this may be the worst defense.
See, okay.
And that was pre-Bosa.
But there's too much money spent on that side of the ball.
I 100% agree. So what I do is I start with the big money players. Now, is Fred earning his paycheck? Fred Warner's earning his paycheck, right?
He's the best player on defense.
Right. I'm liable to say, hey, let's rip up your contract, give you new money. Like, if there's anybody who deserves new money, it's number 54, Fred Warner.
I'm with you. We agree there.
Javon Hargrave. I mean, come on.
Since about midway through last year, I've been out on the whole Hargrave thing, and I told the money allocated to him and the lack of impact. Look, and no, he had a sack in this game, and most people forgot about it because he didn't do much else.
Well, you know, we had him on. Remember in the offseason, we did like 21 minutes with Javon Hargrave. I was like, I like this guy. I'm rooting for him.
Great nickname.
Grave digger. Yeah, but, you know, not sure how many graves he's really digging out there, if you know what I mean.
His own career grave. I mean, like, the guy, they're like, he hurt his tricep. Like, what, begging to come out of the game after getting stonewalled?
So you got Javon Hargrave. I got number 97, Nick Bosa. He's got, what, two sacks on the season? He's 25th in the league? Now he's got to ratchet this up. Now, the film will tell you, well, he's doing what he's got to do. He's creating for, but you know what? I need stats from him. It's not good enough. Solid for Nick Bosa is not good enough when you get paid that money. And when we think about the $120 million you got guaranteed and you held out and you blamed, he was the first to the trough to throw Steve Wilks under the bus. So what are we going to do now?
Well, I need leadership from him. I mean, and it starts with him owning up to his own play. There were two plays in this game. He had a couple of nice rushes, but there were two plays that stuck out to me. One where D'Amino Lenore sticks the rusher, mm-hmm. and Bosa misses the tackle, and then he cleans it up afterwards. But to me, it's like, hey, the elite players don't miss that first tackle. You made the play, right? You ended up making the play, and you were lucky to make that play because D'Amino Lenore kind of stopped the gap there. His inability to shed a block in the run game really frustrates me for how much he's being paid.
Oh, my gosh.
It's alarming. About sacks and pressures and PFF ratings and all that stuff.
It's alarming.
But are you a complete player? And right now, he doesn't look like a complete player.
He's just a power rusher. And so when he's lining up in the wide nine and he's lined up so far out, he's not beating guys with speed. Mm-hmm. He's beating guys with power. So by the time he does, like, the quarterback's already in the pocket for 4 seconds by the time he breathes on him. I need more from Nick Bosa. I'm putting it, and I'm just going to stop right there. Let's go to the lines. I need more from Nick Bosa. All right, before we get to Schlepp Rock, let's get the Rams fan out of the way. Rudy in Riverside. Make it quick, Rudy. Long time, no talk. Hey. I missed you.
How you doing, fellas?
Not good.
I got to tell you, before I get to what I want to say, I want to just tell you this, that there is actually Niner fans that are Rams season ticket holders. It was amazing. So they were giving away the Sean McVay bobblehead yesterday for Rams season ticket holders, right? If you're a ticket member. There were Niner fans in line to get a McVay bobblehead. Embarrassing. Can you imagine a Rams fan
shut
in
up.
Line?
That's not true. I don't believe you.
No, that's true. Okay, you can look it up. Okay, now, before I get to that, okay, Yeah, props to Brock Purdy. He was able to get some passes off with scrambling and all that, but the Rams are missing two of their best secondary guys in Darius Williams and Johnny Johnson III. At times, he had all day to throw and couldn't find guys. Props to him. This game came down to Stafford versus Purdy, and Stafford dropped the dimes. He showed you the difference between the two levels in quarterbacking between the two teams. Now, also on the offensive line, we don't even have Steve Avila. Yeah, we don't have Jonah Jackson.
All right, this ain't the Rams. Bye-bye. Get the hell out of here. I think you try. This ain't the Rams.
Ireland.
Go call Kirk Morrison. Go call Kirk. Call wasn't good. Contact Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain at flowingwater.net. The hell with the Rams. I gave Rudy. I just want to get him out the way because Rudy is a roaster, but damn it.
Shut up.
Hell with you. I don't care about what the Rams got cooking. See you guys at Levi's. Payback's a mother. You know what? Slut Rocket Fremont. What's happening?
Rudy. Here's the thing, guys. I got three things. It just looked like, I'm not going to say they got out coached or whatever, but when it comes to the 49ers, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not a Niner fan, but I enjoy the entertainment watching them on TV. When they're leading the game and it goes to halftime, it seems like they're failing to make adjustments, and the other team makes adjustments, and then they come out, and the next thing you know, the Niners are losing that game because it seems like no adjustments were made, whether they're winning or losing, or the adjustments that they did make don't pan out. And they tend to lose games when they're ahead. So that's confusing to me. That play, Bonte, when you said Ayuk was wide open late in the fourth quarter, he was open quick. And I think Purdy missed it. Purdy should have went there, got the ball off quick, and then Ayuk is running for a touchdown. I think he was open, but he wasn't wide open.
Yeah. Right.
And I'm coming down your side of the street when it comes to the timeouts late. I think with the squad like the Niners have, missing a bunch of their key players on offense, you want to have as much time at the end of the game as possible. So I'm coming down your side of the street on the timeout thing. So that's what I got, guys.
Good call, Slut Rock. Good to hear from you, Slut Rock. Remember, he came up with the Looney nickname, you know, Kevon Windex Looney, because all he does is clean up the glass. That was a really good nick. By the way, Looney looks like he's in phenomenal shape. He does. His body went through an entire transformation. We'll get to the Warriors at some point over
there. Will
he
be at
weeks.
Training camp, though?
Yeah,
will he be in game shape?
Oh, yes. He will be Hawaii. Now, Hawaii scares me. Hawaii does scare me. You could get into a lot of fun out there in Hawaii. I'm buying stock in Andrew Wiggins. Yes, I am. But by the way, shout out to the Wiggins family. He lost his father. Which we didn't touch on, and I know that you know, we don't need to speak about it on this show. We know who we lost, Papa Shasky, rest in peace. But Wiggins lost his father, Mitchell Wiggins, who was fighting a battle of sickness for the last couple of years. So shout out to Andrew Wiggins. Hopefully he's doing well. Back to the Lions. Let's go to, you know what? I'm going to get to Jan. Then we'll get to Telmo. Jan in Mountain View. Long time. No talk, Jan.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. The point I want to make is like in basketball, you win the quarter and you play one quarter at a time. Well, the Niners, they come out in the first quarter and the defense is sacking, you know, Stafford and getting after him and everything. And then what's happening the rest of the team? They're kind of laying off and they're not, you know, they're not getting after the quarterback. They weren't paying attention to that fake punt or nothing, you know. They're just, you know, they just kind of lay back and let them do whatever they wanted. And I'm like, where the heck is the defense?
I'm with you. The defense is not there, Jan. What happens now? Is the season over for you, Jan? Because there's a lot of doom and gloom right now. There's a lot of football to be played. But how can they fix this defense, Jan?
Well, I'm not giving up on them, but they need to make adjustments and they need to get on the right side of the track and win these games. I mean, that game could have been won, and they just gave up. And Lord have mercy, you know. I thought, you know, they could have, you know, after Purdy did that scramble and in the fourth quarter and tried to get closer to you know, even though he didn't make a first down, they didn't make a first down, and the kicker missed that field goal. Where the heck was the special teams and trying to stop that, you know, that
punt return
from running it back like he did?
No, Janet, it's very frustrating, Janet. Thanks for the call.
Who called,
Janet? You know, one play that's going to get overlooked, because I'm just looking at the game log and I'm replaying all the plays in my head while I'm listening to the callers here. And Jan makes a great point about the special teams and the defense not making adjustments. But the plays like this, Shasky, that get swept under the rug, that don't even come up. It's second and one, right? Mason gets the 4-yard carry. Now it's first and 10.
Is this the fourth quarter?
Fourth quarter, first and 10 at the Rams 42. Yeah. Isaac Grindo gets 5 yards. You're on schedule, but Kyle Juszczyk gets called for holding. And now all of a sudden you're facing the first and 20. And now you're kind of in pass mode there. Little penalties like that. The situation where, and it was a questionable hold. Juszczyk kind of looked at it and was like, but they're going to call it on the edge there. Whenever they see the jersey gets pulled a little bit. But now all of a sudden you're facing a second and 5, and the situation's different. Now maybe, a couple plays later, you don't have Moody out there kicking a field goal. You don't have him doing anything like that. So I just, little things like that, Shasky. Little things like that, situational football and penalties at the wrong damn time. That holding call put them behind the 6,000. Remember, I was like, damn, first and 20. Now all of a sudden, you got to work harder for all that yardage. And the percentage of converting a first down facing a first and 20, the percentages are probably low.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's why I'm a big stickler on all the details, whether it's a timeout allocation, individual plays, penalties, et cetera, how to play things. Like, there's no foolproof plan. Anyone can convert anything at any time, right?
And it stops the clock, too, by the way.
That's the bigger thing. And, like, the clock stoppage is so bad. But, like, there's certain situations. So you brought up all these, like, fourth quarter spots. Like, third and one, all right? Earlier in the third to last drive, third and one, you take Ayuk off the field, and you take Jawan Jennings off the field. It's like, all right, you go with Conley, which I like Conley. They're not going to try to game up the pass at all in that situation. They know you're going to run it, and it's a predictable Mason run that gets stuffed at the line of scrimmage or behind it. It's one of the worst runs of the game for him, really, because I thought he was like breaking tackles and making plays happen. There was one play where Ronnie Bell completely whiffs on a block, and he cuts up field and turned it into like a 12-yard game.
Yep, no doubt.
I thought Mason was awesome, but in that situation, to your point about maybe they go for it on fourth and one.
I thought it was two down territory. Okay, you run the ball there, fourth and short. Last week in Minnesota, I know it's only a 3-0 game, and it's a different situation, but you elected to go for it. You elected to go for it. So in that situation...
And they went for a fourth down after the Purdy fumble play where the ball got kicked out from one of the lines. Was it Aaron Banks or whatever kicked it out? And so whatever. The point being is all these plays do add up. And that's where I'm at. But like the number one thing, and that's why I go back to that play, Ayuk and Jennings off the field on a game where you don't have a lot of playmakers.
I know.
You like that's where as you know, talk about timeouts, whatever. Okay, those are the situations that if I do need a guy to catch a breather, that's such a crucial third and one. I might waste a timeout to get that guy back out on the field. Because I go back to the Pete Carroll USC play. Reggie Bush cannot be on the sideline, even if you're going to hand to Lendell White.
Right.
You need to have the threat of that guy on the outside touching the ball. And when you don't have the threat of Ayuk on the field, and you don't have the threat of Jennings on the field, they're not going to honor the pass. They're going to have all 11 guys stuff the run. Now, you're going to say, Joe, you're hyper-focused on one play.
They did.
Well, it ended up being a one-play game.
Well, not only that, but it's such a good point because I look at it from this angle. Okay, you bring Ayuk and Jennings off the football field, right? You take them off the football field. You've got a lot of guys in and out of the lineup. So how much continuity does your backups have together on a crucial third and one down? How many times are these players in that situation in practice, let alone a game? Is Brayden Willis on the field in a third and one situation? And that, you know what I'm saying? like Chris Conley, you got so many guys in and out of the lineup. Ayuk's just now getting full reps. He's even like, so you put these guys in that situation at that juncture of the game, they may not be ready because of the lack of continuity in practice. You're running too many damn combinations. So to your point about the Rams, they filled every gap with their defensive linemen. They filled every single gap, and the linebacker was untouched. So Trent's looking around saying, I got to block this guy and that guy. The linebacker shot right free, and it was unbelievable. But in that situation, I'm thinking, okay, maybe they're going to go for it. And they sent out the field goal unit. So,
And you know what? probably would have kicked the field goal too, I guess. Like, I probably would have, but so, like, on that play, right? You have a quarterback and you have a running back. So yeah. Take those two players off the field. Now I'm blocking with nine guys against 11. Well, they're going to be free. I mean, unless you have, you know, an opportunity where you jam two with one. But, like, those are the little plays. I'll go to another one. This is with the Sorensen. I want context on this. And maybe I'm making way too much. They went 3D tackles on a fourth down situation. Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay.
Well, they were running the five-man fronts early in the game because Sanchez pointed out right away. I was like, that's what the Eagles did a couple years ago when they had Reddick and Fletcher, Cox. And Hargrave, I was like, wow, I love the five-man defensive front on early downs. You force a team to pass it and get out of their elements.
And they run a stunt with a 350-pound guy. Yeah. And I'm like, on a fourth and one, it's a jam play. Like, there's no opportunity to – you don't have enough time to go around a guy to rush. Like, it just didn't make sense to me. I want to hear from a sophisticated football mind because I was like, what are we doing?
Well, last week, Baldy said you had – Charvarius Ward guarding, or D'Amelio Lenore, Charvarius Ward guarding grass on a 97-yard touchdown to Justin Jefferson. Again, George Odom playing press man at the safety spot with Tig Brown backing him up. Tig Brown's not a free safety. He's a strong safety. You know what I'm saying? And he starts to get picked on in the pass game. Teams are attacking number 27. They are. So now you got George Odom. George Odom didn't see a snap yesterday. I don't remember George Odom playing yesterday.
Special teams only.
But think about that. Yeah. He goes 1 week playing press man on Justin Jefferson to not even playing on defense against the LA Rams B team. Nick Sorensen has got to get it together in a heartbeat. We have to be consistent. If we're going to give heat to every other defensive coordinator we've had here in San Francisco, then Nick Sorensen is probably the Ross of them all.
Look, I'm not going to run him out of town after 3 weeks, but you have to acknowledge it looks horrible.
This looks like the worst defensive ass since 2018.
And I would listen to, like, hey, the personnel isn't great, but when I'm paying premium players, they got to play premium football. Like, Charvarius Ward, you brought up, maybe you shouldn't have played in the game. I don't know. I don't know if that's the case. But if you go out the week before and say, I like to man up the best man, and you throw your DC under the bus that way, you better show up against Tutu Atwell.
And then you get cooked.
The first play out there
changes possession. Dave Wanstead, I got the 30 for 30, Miami Notre Dame, Catholics versus Catholics. So Dave Wanstead was the D coordinator of Miami. They turned it over. He goes, change of possession. Look out for the deep play. The deep play. And they got hit with a deep play by Ricky Waters. Well, that goes through my head every time. Miss field goal, turnover, change of possession. And the first play, Stafford chucks it deep. A beautiful deep ball. Tig Brown's not even close. Charvarius Ward's not even close. And Tutu Atwell first to goal. I would have rather him just scored a touchdown right then and there.
I know. That goes back to the clock thing. Belichick's talked to his team like, hey, in some situations, it's actually better to just let him score.
Let him score.
But this goes back to understanding like time, but whatever. Stafford's arm, I underrated how good he was. I've actually been hating on Stafford for many years.
He threw that out route to DeMarcus Robinson.
He threw a bunch of...
the out route when he had him stretched out.
He's a great player.
Damn. No, DeMarcus Sanchez during the throw was like, wow.
I'll tip my cap. I was wrong. Yeah, he was Stafford's tough. A great player.
Let's get the lines, man. We got 15 minutes left in the show. Let's get everybody on here. Let's start with Telmo in the city. Telmo, long time no talk.
What's up, fellas? I've been on hold so long, I thought I was going to talk to Guru. Hey, man, this was a rough one. And you know what, Shasky? I found out we got a friend in common because it was my two-year-old's birthday party yesterday at the house, and Officer Guerrero's my neighbor.
Oh, my God.
So he was over at the house. And it was the fourth quarter, and we had little OJ's pizza, and we had Round Tables pizza because we got different tastes in the house. But we were feeling good. We were hanging out. They were up by 10. You know, me and Officer Guerrero, we threw back a little gold bar, feeling good. Next thing we look up, and it's all falling apart. And it's one of these things. It's like it's multiple games now. Where it's little mistakes, where it's penalties, and it's the defense giving up big plays just over and over. Special teams, just they got to really get it together. And I don't think it's an offensive problem. And to the caller earlier from whatever SoCal, the Rams fan, Matt Stafford didn't outplay Brock Purdy. That's a casual take. Brock Purdy went for 303 TDs and no picks.
And ran. And
he had a great game. And he did that with nobody. He did that with Juwan Jennings, who I said from the beginning, we shouldn't have paid Ayuk $30 million. That's a big mistake. That's going to cost the roster for years to come. And Juwan Jennings could have just put more on his plate because he's capable of it. But last thing, the thing about Shanahan and the blown leads and everything, I think he's such an offensive-minded coach that he does that. But, you know, these games have been lost on penalties and special teams and defense. And I honestly think he's had a run of bad luck because look at dropped interceptions with just missed field goals, just holding penalties. Going back to the Falcons when there was a third down where they picked up the first down, that would have been game in the Super Bowl, and they got called back on holding. A penalty. Yep. That's outside of his control.
Yep.
So yeah, there's something to it because you're the head coach, so you gotta die on that hill all day long. But man, he's gotten some unlucky plays at crucial moments with dropped. Like yesterday, the Ronnie Bell dropped pass, touching his hands on the 25-yard line, Purdy threw a dime. it's just like, man, things like that are so frustrating. But it's good talking to you guys.
Good job,
Tomo. I wish it was under stuff, other Tomo. Circumstances.
Yep.
Have a great day, man.
You too. Let's get to Ryan and Irvine. Ryan and Irvine, what's up? We're going to get everybody on here before we end the show and get to Fast Five. Ryan and Irvine, what's happening?
Hey, guys. Hey, thanks for taking everyone's call this morning. I know we're all frustrated. I have a little bit different take than the previous caller. You tell me how I have 3 points, and you tell me how all three of these don't just land at Kyle's feet. First of all, the defense. He wanted this coordinator. He stayed in-house because some of his players wanted that continuity. They wanted that familiar face in the room. Well, tell me this. Do corners get faster as the season goes on? Do strong safeties somehow become free safeties? Because by my count, we literally don't have a free safety on our roster.
I completely agree. They're all box safeties.
Exactly. So 2 weeks in a row, the playbook is out on our defense. Chuck the ball deep. Our corners and our coverage linebackers, they get cooked. They get grabby. It's just like a free 40, 50-yard, if not touchdown play, right? But remember, Kyle wanted this defensive coordinator. That's first point. Second one, these special teams issues have been there for 7 years. You've had different special teams coordinators, the same result. You drafted this kid in the third round. He's a liability. And then the last point, I can't think of a better opportunity for Jacob Cowing to get into this game.
Yeah.
And use him for his strengths. This is the difference between Andy Reid and Kyle Shanahan. Andy doesn't have trust issues. He'll look at a rookie and say, hey, Xavier Worthy, you're just a speedster. You can't block. You can't do anything. You're a one-trick pony. I'm going to use that trick to beat teams.
100%. Mm-hmm.
Kyle's like, you don't know my whole playbook. You don't know every single assignment. I can't use you. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ronnie Bell has had dropping issues since he got into the league, and yet you use him over Cowing, our only fast guy on our team. It's ridiculous. This is all on Kyle.
I'll take it a deep step further. What about the young man they just claimed from Carolina? I'd rather see him. Terrace Marshall Jr.? The young man from LSU who's in Carolina, basically he's an outcast because they have no players out there. I'd rather see him than Ronnie Bell. He's like 6'2", 6'3", and he's got speed. He could high point a football, I'm sure, over Ronnie Bell. But that's the point. Ronnie, you put a player in a position to make a play, he doesn't make a play. And now it's like, Ronnie Bell, what are we doing? We're playing. If you're going to cut Sammy Womack, you got to cut this guy.
Yeah. There's so many things. Like the thing Bill Walsh used to say, I don't care if you can do everything. Can you do something special? That was his way. And like every coach looks at it different. But I remember I was out on Chip Kelly because he was like, I will never use a fullback. Right. It's like, well, wait a minute. I give you Mike Allstott in his prime.
Yeah.
You can't find a way to scheme it up.
Yep.
I'm out on Chip, right? Like, so my point being is that, like, you do have to evolve a little. There was a pop blast play that they did for Ayuk early in the game. Now, I like that they were trying to get Ayuk involved.
Yeah.
They were trying, and I like that. So I don't want to say, like, this is some indictment on it, but can you get Cowing one of those plays?
Right.
Like on the edges?
Some juice. Yeah, guy with some juice.
Let him feel good. It's a simple play. He touches it. He uses his speed. He gets to the outside. Like,
yeah.
That being said, they finally used Garendo. I think he had 4 or 5 carries in this game.
Garendo's not bad.
And look, but you got to get him acclimated so that he can help you moving forward. You can't just ice guys out.
Yeah, I didn't get to Jacob Cowing when John Lynch last week said that Jacob Cowing is going to get plenty of opportunities this week.
How many
John Lynch is on record saying that?
How many routes did he
have? I didn't see many routes with number 19. I didn't see many routes.
He did catch the ball.
He caught the punt return, had a nice little return, but that's it. I thought Cowan was going to get the opportunity. I did not expect number 10, Ronnie Bell, to get that many reps, that many routes run, and how many passes thrown to him. I just, poor guy, man, just dropped multiple passes. Oh, my God. You're at the 25-yard line. Game over. Game over.
And then the other element was the special teams. When I think of, like, the really good teams, all right, whether it's the New York Giants of the 80s or the New England Patriots or the Buffalo Bills, and I know people, oh, the Bills didn't win anything. There's a guy by the name of Steve Tasker. Like, yeah. I immediately think of, like, Marv Levy was going to be buttoned up on special teams. Who's been the best special teams defensive player on this team in the 8 years? Raheem Mostert for three quarters of a season until he became a running back as a gunner? Like, that's to me, like, you've got to shore that up.
Yeah, special teams were awful. I look at Shanahan and the whole Sorensen hire. They tried to get other guys. They did try to get other guys. Sorensen was just a guy. It's like last resort. You know what? Here, the job is yours. At this point, I guarantee you, there's people thinking right now, and they won't say it out loud, but I guarantee you there's some people who woke up this morning or who turned off the game last night saying, might as well have kept Steve Wilkes. At least we know he's got experience. Because right now, the lack of experience from Nick Sorensen, it's alarming. The lack of experience. Sean McVay and Kevin O'Connell back-to-back weeks undressed him. Yeah. Now, I don't know who's running the show in New England land, but they're looking at the film saying, oh, we got some plays out there. And you bet, you best not sleepwalk at the start of that football game against Jacoby Brissett and company. Because they just got embarrassed on national TV. They want to get that taste out of their mouth. I would not be overlooking the New England Patriots. The Niners aren't good enough right now to overlook any football team right now in the league.
Well, we can get to the passing. They got to stop the run.
That's what I'm saying.
Inside, outside. Rashawn Stevens is going to kill them.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, with the New England Patriots, you bet not overlook them because they'll run the ball down your throat, and they're going to bring a physical attitude to Levi Stadium. Let's get these calls real quick, Jasky. Shay in Annapolis. What's Shay, that? Then we'll get to Duke and we'll get to Bill. Shay, what's happening? All the way in Annapolis, Maryland. Good morning or good afternoon.
How you doing, gentlemen? How you doing, gentlemen?
I've had better days.
I would like to talk about, I know everybody's been talking about the defense. I would like to talk about the offense. I think the problem with this team, and it continues to be the problem, is that this is, this league is about quarterback play. This league is built for the quarterbacks. And I believe in that game against the Rams, Brock Purdy got to deliver, got to do more. He's got to do more.
I know.
There's going to be times where the defense is not going to play up to par, and you might have to go on a. You might have to shoot out with the team. And I got to tell you something. This team is not going to win a Super Bowl unless Purdy and CMC play at a high level, because all them other players like Kittle, who's the other one? Ayuk. I think they're just Jags, and I'm very disappointed in Kittle. Because I think he has regressed year after year.
So wait a minute. Wait a minute. So you just think they're just another guy? Kittle just had over 1,000 yards last year.
What I'm saying is, I don't think if I'm another team, if I'm the opposing team going against,
you call him a Jag. What's a Jag mean? Just a guy. I can't say that about Kittle. I can't say that about a kid on Debo. That's, yeah, like, dude. Shay, hold on. Let Shay hit finish. Hey, Brock Purdy played at an extremely high level yesterday.
What I'm saying is, in situations where you see the defense is struggling, you're going to have to match the performance. You're going to have to match point to point with the other quarterback. What I'm getting tired of is that Brock Purdy is developing. He's getting better. But in order for them to take the next level, Brock Purdy has to take the next level.
That's your takeaway from that game? He ran for almost 50 yards.
Shay, I love you.
He threw for 300.
Shay, I love you.
That's your takeaway?
Shay, I love you, man.
You weren't impressed with Purdy?
You need to contact Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain at flowingwater.net. He threw the ball to Ronnie Bell to hit him in the numbers at the 25-yard line.
Come on.
He matched throw for throw with Matthew Stafford.
To a bunch of guys, as he says.
But Kittle's just a guy.
Yeah, then come on.
Kittle's just a guy.
Come on.
This is ridiculous, man. Out of all the things that I can't speak highly enough about Purdy this morning.
He played great.
And he's a fun watch. He's entertaining, and he made play after play after play. Can you imagine if Jimmy Garoppolo's quarterback of that team with those weapons?
The diving play for first down was the best play Jimmy would have ever made. And I'm not trying to rip Jimmy, but like dove for a first down.
This guy,
this is unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
I mean, good Lord. I don't know where to start, man. Go ahead. If you start,
well,
Jesse.
Look, that's a really frustrating loss. There are two players on the planet who I'm not pointing the finger. Actually, three. I'll go three, okay? Three on the planet I'm not pointing it at for this loss, for this game. Jordan Mason, Juwan Jennings, and Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm sure there are other people when I watch the film over back. There are going to be other guys. If you didn't think Purdy was outstanding yesterday, yeah. Then you're just not watching
you're
the same
in denial.
Thing I'm watching. I mean, the guy is a freaking gamer. He reminds me of Garcia, where I'm like, I want him to run a little more. I like when he runs, and he's so smart. How about the slide inbounds?
What are we doing? But he throws a pretty ball, and the deep shots that I was begging for, he went deep. He went deep. He hit Jennings in stride on a 31-yard out and up. Oh, it was beautiful. Purdy was fine. Well, my final takeaway is Nick Sorensen and his defense best get it together. They best get it together. And I'm being hood here when I say it like that. But they better get it together because I'm looking at the schedule. All right? You got the Patriots next week, which you can't sleep walk in. Can you welcome in the Arizona Cardinals? If you don't think they want to make a statement, they got Marvin Harrison Jr., Trey McBride, and Kyler Murray, and James Conner. That scares the living daylights out of me. Then on a short week, you go to Seattle on Thursday Night Football, and they're chilling at 3-0. And then you can play Kansas City. Are we ready to play Kansas City right now? If you had to line up against Kansas City right now, it would be problems. It'd be big problems. And then you got the Dallas Cowboys, and then you come out of the bye week, you got Tampa, you got Seattle, you got Green Bay, you got Buffalo. So if Nick Sorensen and this defense does not get their act together, no matter how well Brock Purdy plays, it may not be good enough. And we better stop talking playoffs. Let's just win a freaking game right now, okay? I don't want to hear, well, when the playoffs come around, McCaffrey be fresh. We may not get there. So take it week by week and just win a damn game next Sunday to stabilize this season. Oh, man, that's so frustrating. They lost to the Rams yesterday.
My takeaway from just watching the early slate, the afternoon slate, I don't care what the quarterback is or who the quarterback is. It could be Andy Dalton. It could be Bo Nix. Or it could be a really good one like Matt Stafford. If you don't pressure any of those guys, they're going to eat you up. You saw that with the Bucs. They slept on. They clearly slept on Bo Nix and the Broncos. They didn't show up. The Raiders didn't show up against Andy Dalton. And the Niners, they showed up somewhat, but at the end, they didn't against Matt Stafford, and he killed them.
I know we're very football focused today, but I want to zig while everyone else is zagging here and
Florida
highlight
State?
A positive
Florida
that happened.
State?
No, I want to highlight a positive that happened Gar. Yesterday. Guys, Macklin Celebrini lit his first professional NHL lamp last night, his first goal in a 4-2 loss to the Knights. We won't talk about that.
Is that a real game? A regular season game?
It was a preseason game. Preseason game, but his first professional NHL goal. He also got an assist in just under 19 minutes of ice time. Guys, the Macklin Celebrini era is off and rolling.
Hockey starting way too early.
Already made more plays than Ronnie Bell.
How about the WNBA starting their playoffs yesterday on a football Sunday?
At 2 o'clock.
And then announcing that Asia Wilson and Caitlin Clark won big-time awards, Rookie of the Year and MVP, and nobody knows about it because it's a football Sunday. We got to do better, WNBA. We have to do better. That was Fast Five, brought to you by Xfinity. At home or on the go, you get the fastest internet to all of your devices. Baldy will be on the show tomorrow at 7:30. I'm sure he'll have a lot to say. We'll continue to recap this loss. It's a bad, bad loss. Bad, bad loss to the LA Rams. And I'm sure Steiny and Guru will spend 4 hours talking about how the Niners blew another double-digit lead, this time to a division opponent that was wounded, yet they gave him life. Have a good day, everybody.